extreme. Don't talk about hell or the consequence of sin. No, we need to preach that. But we need to preach the goodness of God, Romans 2:4, that brings men to repentance. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. Or Roberts made a profound statement many years ago. He said, the hardest thing religious people have to deal with is knowing that God is a good God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. And then, making sure we think on the right things. We need to be aware of what's going on in the world. But if we only focus on that, we'll be depressed. The devil will put us down. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Proverbs 23:7, does a man think in his heart? So is he. Many years ago, Kath and I were out in Western Kentucky preaching a tent meeting. Went to this convenience store. And I walked by and this guy was cussing. People believe this junk. He's talking about these rag magazines. Had outlandish stories. And he reached down and he bought one. And on the front of that magazine, I'll never forget it, it had a picture of people out in the jungle that had their hair combed back like Elvis Presley, and it said they didn't go through evolution, they went through Elvis-lution. And they had another article said that man turns into woman because he got struck by lightning. Now, we chuckle at that, but I believe people think that can happen. Come on, saints of God. Amen. We need to think on the right things. Keep our mind on the Lord. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory when he comes back. Amen. And by the way, he is coming back. I know. The people said years ago, I've been preaching and I've been traveling full time for 38 years, been saved for 48 and a half. Another year and a half, I will have been saved 50 years, half a century. And I preach the coming of the Lord, and I'll continue to preach on the coming of the Lord. One thing about it, you'll have to agree with my view of eschatology to this extent. You and I are one day closer to the coming of the Lord today than we were yesterday. Now, Jesus said in Mark 13:32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But Christ did say in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see these things come to pass, lift up your head because your redemption draws near. We can see these things are coming to pass, and Jesus will come back just like he said he would. What do I need to do? Find a cave where I can hole up in? No! When he said, Luke 21:28, when you see these things happen, lift up your head. Now, juxtapose that with John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white already to harvest. So what he's telling us is, as we know the Lord's coming is near, we need to be more involved in evangelism and winning people to Jesus. Seeing revival. We're going to talk about revival tonight and what it looks like. And really, there's not just one depiction of revival. It can look many ways in many places. Now we use from Acts 8:5, if you want to go back there. Then Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried out, and then many taken with palsies were lame, were healed. And verse 8, I want to focus on, and there was great joy in that city. Joy. Joy accompanies revival. The joy of salvation. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Luke 15:7, reiterated in verse 9 and 10. Over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. But do you know the disciples were filled with joy after they were ran out of town? Acts 13:52. The disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. They just got ran out of town. What's the joy? Bringing the Word of God to people. Giving them the opportunity. It's not about you and me. It's all about Him. And if you wear your feelings in your front pockets, you'll not be able to win people to the Lord. People will hurt your feelings. That's why we shouldn't wear our feelings in our front pocket. Christ said in John 15:18, if the world hated you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chose you out of the world, therefore doth the world hate you. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. James 4:4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, he's not talking about the earth and buildings. He's talking about a social system, cosmos. In the Greek, we call it cosmos. And that's a social order is what it is. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I've even heard of pastors that would say, you know, what we're trying to do is we're just trying to be accepted in the community. Scotty, you catch this. This is for dramatic. Put your hands out there, Scotty. Both of them. Here's what my reaction to that is. What? Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look, I'm not out to rub anybody the wrong way, and you shouldn't be either. But if they have a trouble with you and I loving Jesus, believing God, we're not going to force the gospel on anybody, but they'll try to force what they believe on us. But we have a right of free speech just like anybody else, but there are people that wants to shut us up. I guess I'll just stay home. You better get involved. Come on, we're not going to get involved in the flesh. This is not a fleshly battle we're fighting. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, that's the thinking process, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, Pastor Tackett, a lot of people stop there, but that next verse is important. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Preacher, what's that mean? Well, let's go James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That means when you're obedient to God, you're not giving place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. That word in the Greek is topos, which means geographic location. Don't give him an inch, he'll take a mile. When you're walking with the Lord, he's in you, and the anointing of God's on your life, then you can make life miserable for the devil. How many wants to give the devil an extended headache number 13? How many wants Satan to reach a Pepto-Bismol when you get up in the morning and say, hallelujah? Come on, praise the God. What is revival? The word re means to go back or do again. The root word vive, get vivacious and vibrant, means to live. It means to get revived. But you know you can't get revived if you've never been vived. Revival is for the church. Hallelujah. Salvation is for the world. Some people aren't lost, they're cold. Some people have walked away from God and they're lost. Amen. But some people just need to be fired up. That's what revival is all about. We need to have passion for Jesus. We need to have a love for God. And if we do that, we'll be an effective witness. If people see that God's real in your life, they're going to want what you've got. But if you walk around and look like you've been baptized in vinegar juice, drinking out of a pickle jar, down in the mully grubs, they're not going to want any of that. 1 Peter 1:8, salvation is joy unspeakable and full of glory, not agony. He said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, in one regard, we're like the moon. The moon is a luminary. The moon doesn't generate any light in of itself. It simply reflects the light of the S-U-N, We need to reflect the light of the S-O-N. The life of God, Jesus in us. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. And John 8:12 said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When they see Jesus in us, it's going to draw them to the foot of Calvary, where they can find deliverance. We've been singing that several songs there. I love that song, I Want to Speak the Name of Jesus. That name's above every name, in this world and the world to come. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin, not in their sin. Big difference. Because there's people that teach you have to sin a little bit every day. And a lot of people practice that. We're not beyond sin. We need Jesus' advocacy and intercession for you and me. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin all you want to. No, that you sin not. Amen. Why? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but the sins of the entire world. If we sin, we go to God and ask God for forgiveness. But this idea that we have to sin a little bit every day, Romans 6:14, put up Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, but you're under grace. Romans 8:2, the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So we don't have to sin a little bit every day. I know who concocted that idea. His name starts with a D, ends with an L, and there are three letters in between. The devil. Because he sinned, John 8:44, from the beginning, and he's a liar, and he's the father of it. So don't succumb to that. Well, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace. We were all sinners, every one of us. Romans 3:10 is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I didn't say that. God said that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were all born in a fallen state, but thank God Jesus came in the fullness of time and he lived a perfect life. He was qualified to be our substitute. He died on a cross, shed his blood, rose back from the dead to cleanse you and I from our sin so we can be free. Notice, he saved his people from their sin, not in their sin. And that name's above every name. Amen. Joel 2:32, Acts 2:21, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder what his name is. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take of thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's his name. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We're talking about the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. Revival takes place in different ways. I had a recent conversation, and years before this, a couple of young ministers, I've got, you know what? I'm telling them what the Bible said, and they got straightened out on this. They called me and said, you know, Brother Mike, Paul made a mistake in Acts 17 when he went up on Mars Hill to debate the Athenians. I said, oh, he did. Yes, yeah, so-and-so said it. So-and-so's well-known in some circles. Maybe, and preaches a good word. He's wrong on that. But I said, now, where in the Bible does it say that Paul was wrong? Well, I said, see if you can find it. They couldn't find it. And they said, well, you know, Paul was a man. He may say, yes, but what he wrote was true. Well, yes. No, when he went up on Mars Hill, debated the Athenians, told them about the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship, some scoffed, some said, we'll hear you again, and some were really just indifferent. That's the reaction you get anyway. And they were saying, what he should have done. Oh, they're going to tell Paul what he should have done. He should have went up there, laid hands on sick, cast out devils. 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but in those which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We got this either-or situation about moves of God. It is a both and and. It's got to look this way. What's going on? Well, there are seven churches in the book of Revelation. Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and I'm trying to think of the other one, Smyrna. Do you know he didn't write the same thing to all seven churches? There were different conditions going on in the churches. But you see, it's got to be this way. Come on, saints of God. And I had a recent conversation with a great man of God. Great man of God. Lives way up north. The state he in borders Canada. So he's not in this area. He's a great man of God. We're talking. He said, well, you know, he said what the young men had said years before. You know, Paul's or anybody, you know, would make mistakes. I said, yes, but what he wrote wouldn't. He said, well, you're right about that. And 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. You ought to be able to tell people why you believe in the Bible and believe in Jesus. Well, you're going to start this. Well, Daddy does. And Granddaddy did. What's that mean? Go to India. What do you believe? I believe in the Upanishads. Why? My daddy believed in the Upanishads and the Vedas. Why? Granddaddy believed. Go to Saudi Arabia. What do you believe in the Quran? Why? My daddy believed in the Quran. My great-granddaddy believed in the Quran. Well, what's that mean? You know what? The Bible is unique. There's no book like it. It has information in it. Only the creator of the universe would know. And I don't have time to go over all that, but I can tell you there are situations in the Bible mentioned that recently scientists have discovered to be true. Like the universe is expanding. Seven times in the Bible it's mentioned God stretching out the heavens. Before we knew that in the last 50 or 60 years. Come on, saints of God. Isaiah 40:22, God sets upon the circle of the earth, the inhabitants like grasshoppers, and he stretches out the heavens like a tabernacle for them to dwell in. Psalm 104:2 talks about stretching out the heavens. We can go on and on with it. But the Bible is historically accurate. The archaeological artifacts unearthed by archaeologists have confirmed the veracity, the truth of the Word of God. Not these ideas where some religions said the earth is on the back of a camel walking around. You better catch it this time. Put your hands out there, Scotty. Now, here's my reaction to that. You know, you've got to respect everybody what they believe. I don't have to respect. Tolerate it. I'm not going to respect what you believe if you believe the earth is on the back of a camel walking around. Come on, saints of God. Now, going to my ancestors now, the Greeks. Rick, put your hands out there. I don't want to bruise his hands. The Greeks taught Atlas was holding the earth up. He tricked Hercules into taking the earth, and Hercules tricked Atlas into taking the earth back. You know what my response to that is? You know, you got to respect. I don't respect that. I'll tolerate it. There are things people believe today that is asinine, ridiculous. We tolerate it. Doesn't mean we have to let them teach to our kids. Have compassion on them. I have compassion on people. But I don't respect it. There are two genders, male and female. Amen? Two. Chromosomally, XX female, XY male. Oh, but I feel... Well, listen, just because you feel something, when I was 7 years old, I wanted to be like Superman. You know what I did? I jumped off the neighbor's porch, hit my head on the awning, and broke my arm. I thought I could fly. Guess what? Put your hands out there, Scotty. What do you think about that now at my age? Oh, listen, I watched Superman. I put on my Superman outfit. I've said it before, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Superman. Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal man. Superman who could change the course of rivers, being still in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan paper, fights a never-ending battle for true justice and the American way. I thought I could fly. I couldn't. Well, just because somebody thinks, and they're being taught this by some educators, so-called child psychologists, that is abuse. That is abuse. In a carpenter's world, what if I try to pound a screw into a piece of board? Well, what if I take a screwdriver and try to pound a nail into it? It's not going to work. You're going to tear the tools up too. You can go there with your in your mind if you want to. The revival will look different in different places. And we were talking, I believe that we're going to have signs, wonders, and miracles. But that doesn't do away with Christian apologetics, making the case for God to people that have a mental block. Now, we believe God in the heart. Hey, you know, just don't need to have any. Why did Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together," saith the Lord. Holy hush at the congregation. Maybe I'll camp out there for a while. We're going to have signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm talking to my friend. I'm getting in these scriptures. And, well, I see what you're talking about. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Matthew 22:37, Christ quoted that. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. People have mental blocks. We'll be able to tell them the Bible's the Word of God. Bible prophecy's been fulfilled. It has information in it that only science has discovered recently. All the events in the Bible has been confirmed by archaeology. And it speaks the truth about the nature of man. Because humanism says man is basically good. Well, let me disprove that. It won't take long either. When you have a child, you don't have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach a child to do right. Put a child in a room with 10 toys. Child of the same age, 4 or 5, they pick a toy out. Put the second child in a room. In about 90% of the cases, what toy does the second child want? The toy the first child has. I mean, you can even see kids can be jealous. They can be greedy. Come, but there's aspects of childhood that Paul says we need to emulate. That's trust. Except to become like one of these, Matthew 18:3. You're not into the kingdom of heaven. And then there are aspects of sin. He said be childish when it comes to sin. That's talking about the bad aspects of being a child. Now, what does the revival look? Well, it's got to be this way. Well, really? You know, when laughter broke out in Rodney Howard Brown's meetings, God did that in those meetings. They had other revivals where that didn't break out. What's that mean? 1 Corinthians 12:1. Wherefore, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. You know you were Gentiles, led away into these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to say, well, no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse. No man can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God. Differences, how things are manifested, but the same Lord. Different ways. Then if it's done this way, that's the pattern we get. Why not let the Holy Ghost move? 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, I can call him Brother Rodney because I know him when he first got here. It was the third person he called when he got to America. He knows revival comes in different ways, different avenues. But we need signs, wonders, and miracles. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing that witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Romans 15:18, Paul said, I'll not dare to mention any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. In other words, Paul said, I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to inflate it. that the Gentiles would come to me through signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I had to preach. I told you, it's usually preachers that question what I preach. Because if they hear something that they've not believed, they don't think it's in the Bible. And he was telling me, well, you know, people talk this term full gospel, and that's not in the Bible. I said, really? You haven't read it? Romans 15, 18, and 19. I just quoted. I will not dare to mention any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles be by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders. So from Jerusalem and round about to Lycaum, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Acts 20 and 27, he said, I'm not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Romans 15, 29, when I come, I trust I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos the more excellent way, the more way of God more completely. Come on, saints of God. Now, I told him that. Well, you know what? But I quoted Scripture when I said that, but because he didn't think it was in the Bible, he still didn't think it was in the Bible. I had to show him after church. We need to just believe what the Bible says. That's why I started reading the Bible. I got saved in a wonderful church, and they taught and preached salvation. Still do. Win people to the Lord. But I started reading about these things. I would go to the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and hear, well, they've already said the Bible's the Word of God. Well, you sort of need to stay away from that. Well, that made me want to find out what they didn't want me to know. Come on. I said, was it last night? We all have PSAs and have a preacher come on TV. This is a public service announcement to the body of Christ. My name is Reverend Know-It-All. We want you to stay out of Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. You can read 13, but not 12 or 14. Stay out of Mark. Don't go beyond Mark 16, 18, because verse 19 said, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. In fact, they don't want you to go past Mark 16, 15, and 16. Because verse 17 says, my name will cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any day thing that shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yeah. I think by Mitch last night on a package of cigarettes, it's got a warning. Smoking cigarettes may be hazardous to your health, the Surgeon General's determined. What about if we want people to read the Bible, put a little label on the front of it. Warning! Religionist and traditionists have determined reading this book will be hazardous to your preconceived notions and ideas about God. If you want people to read the Bible, and you know what? This thing's backfired on the devil in the public school. Because up until 1962, they had prayer in school. Madeline Murray O'Hara used her son in a court case, and they took prayer out of school. She, and her lawyer talked about separation of church and state. That's not mentioned in the Constitution. That's mentioned in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Anabaptists of Danbury, Connecticut. His concern wasn't the religious people be involved in government. That was a given. His concern was that the government will get involved in church matters. Just the opposite. And that's not in the Constitution. It says that we should not establish a religion or prohibit the worship thereof. There's a flip side to that coin. Hallelujah. So nobody should be discriminated. If people don't want to believe in God, they have a right in our country. They should have a right to not believe in God. If they want to believe what they want to believe, live their life how they want to live. Look, I will preach to God. They don't have to hear what I'm saying. But you know what? I love those people. I want them to be saved. I'm not. If they don't want to hear, Pastor, and I know you and I are the same way, we're not going to go up and try to force it down their throat. We present the gospel. You're going to look at world religions, and they pretty well force what they believe on their people. Jesus never did that. He never did that. He presented himself. That's why I love him, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved me. Revival looks different in different places. Revival, remember the 2015 revival over, started in Logan County, it went to Mingo County, and all kinds of people were being saved. You know what spawned that revival? A young man, Skylar Miller, was dying of leukemia. The cancer treatments weren't working. Jesus healed the young man. I think he was in the sophomore that year. Popular student. And they thought he was going to die. Jesus healed him. What did he do? Well, he would step out in the hallway and start talking about the Lord during the lunch break. And they would show pictures in the Logan Banner. These kids are sitting around hearing what he had to say. Listen, he's in the ministry to this day. He's healed. Okay, now, a youth minister came over to the Church of God at Dale Barton, Mitch and Regina Bice. They're the founding pastors, and their son, actually, the pastor. It's a great church. They sent this guy over to Mingo Central High School. Well, they were having 10 or 15 children showing up for the prayer club. He went over there. This thing was a move of God. 100 and some, almost 200 kids gave their heart to the Lord. You know, in 2 weeks' time, they went from 10 to 15 attendees to close to 300. It wasn't spawned by one person, a denomination. This was organic. This was spontaneous. I remember watching Dr. Cho. I met him twice, in 2015 and in 2018. 2015 in Louisville, 2018 over in South Korea. And people asked me, well, what do you think about Dr. Cho? I'll describe him in two sentences. He was a small man with a lot of God. He went through persecution, rejected by his family, thrown in jail, but he didn't die. Got out, believed God for a little bicycle. And what happened? When he read about Jesus, he broke down. He said, how Jesus loved people. Never seen anything like that. People started getting saved. In his first meeting, I think he had five people. I think they were all family. Now he died September 13th, 2021. Let me say this. The church at that time was like at one, not in one location. In fact, Dr. Cho, years before, they had so many services, they had 1 million people. And he seated 150,000 here, 150,000. And his church was down to like 400,000. Now that church is back up to about 600,000. The other churches are grown up to about 400,000. So, but in 1 year's time, after Dr. Cho died, he didn't build a church on David Youngie Cho, Paul Youngie Cho. He built a church on Jesus Christ. And in a year's time, well, we went in October of last year. So a little over 13 months. Church went from 1.2 to 1.3 million now to 1.7 million. What caused all that? They preached the gospel. They preached healing. They believed in miracles. Things took place. And lives were changed. Glory to God. 47% of South Korea now is Christian. Oh, back in the 50s and 60s, it was just hardly anybody. Well, what happened? John 6:2, the multitudes followed Christ because they saw the miracles which he did on them to receive. We need miracles, signs, and wonders, but there's other ways revival. There is street evangelism. Hallelujah. Crusades like Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke. Come to Jesus Christ and he will change your life. Steve Mayle worked under Dr. Reinhard Bonnke, and he spoke, I don't know, several years back, we were out, I think, in Arizona with the Full Gospel Fellowship, and he met with the men. He said some things. I'll share it with the pastor. Oh, God. I can watch what I say. Now, I can't say fully. It's just not fully. He goes to preach in prison. And these what looked like 10 beautiful ladies are sitting up front, and he was complimenting the ladies on coming in, you know, among all these, and the governor's trying to get his attention, and everybody's laughing. They're laughing at him. And then the guy said, come over. He went over there, and he told him, and the direct terms told him, those aren't women. Those are men. But you know how God used that? He said, those guys laughed when he preached. Their hearts were opened up and a bunch of them got saved. But he was imitating Reinhard Bonnke, and I'm the evangelist and director of the Full Gospel Fellowship. And so he and I got together and I imitated Reinhard. He said, you're better than me. Either Reinhard Bonnke or T.L. Osborne have spoken to more people live anybody that's ever walked the earth. So you have mass crusades. You have street evangelism. Bill Bryant, Campus Crusade for Christ. The four spiritual laws. Listen, we don't want to try to box God. He's got to be this way all the time. the people that think that they're being open to the Spirit, all of a sudden, they're being close-minded sometimes. Because it's got to be the way we're doing it. I mean, I just quoted 1 Corinthians 12:4. Diversity is a gift, same Spirit, difference in ministrations, same Lord, differences in ministrations, the same God that works all in all. Different ways. Yes, but His voice didn't quiver when He prophesied. Oh, now we got to have the quivering voice. Some people are taken aback. They're sucked in because they're used to, if it's a loud voice, thus saith God. I know that was the Lord. Chills went up and down my back. I'm going to get into another thing. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. But yet the Bible talks about you can feel God, Acts 17:27, that they might happily feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from one of us. You know, then you have people that you walk by faith, not by sight. They don't want any emotion. You just discount emotion. That's what the Bible says. Then you got the other crowd, and the emotion's the big thing. And if they're going through a tough trial, they don't have the emotion. They feel defeated. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, but it's all right to shout and praise the Lord. Try to feel good in the house of God or anywhere else. See, some people are all after the gifts. We need the gifts. And some people are only after the fruit. It's not an either or, it's a both and an and. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, talks about the nine spiritual gifts. And the guy Carter that wrote this book while he was in prison, in jail for preaching, wrote the book on the spiritual gifts. You have the three utterance gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. You have the three revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. The three power gifts, faith, special faith, healing, and working of miracles. But what about the fruit? Galatians 5:19, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. We need character and we need power. Some just want to go after the power and the feeling. And others want to be real quiet and just, they know I love the Lord and I live for God. We can have both. Why do we want us? What began in Jerusalem as a movement became a philosophy in Greece, a culture in Rome, an institution in Europe, and by and large, an enterprise in America. We need to go back to where it's a movement. Shouldn't we take the whole counsel of God and, well, this is the one thing God, and I've, down through the years, Pastor, you and I have touched on this years. We talk, people will get, God will give a revelation. And then people say, this is what's held the church back. No, it's a good revelation will help, but that God waited for 2,000 years for you and I to show up on the scene to find something that the church needed, and that was holding the church back. It can be supplemental, it can help, it can be a great revelation, but then we think, I'm the one, I've got the answer. That'll cause spiritual pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. And Paul dealt with this. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:7, he commended the Corinthians. You come behind and no gift as you wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. To the same people, there were 3,000 members in the church of Corinth, and I'll tell you something to make you laugh. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you're not able, even now. Whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal as walking men? One says, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm Apollos. Who are Paul or Apollos? Ministers by which you heard the gospel. And verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, so that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Don't you think we need to keep our eyes on Jesus? I've been on the scene full time for 38 years. I've been saved 48 and a half years. I've met people that love God. They have big ministries and they're as humble as can be. I've met some people and it's all went to their head. And at due time, they're going to fall. And how are you going to know? Listen to what they say. The more they talk about themselves. Now, we can illustrate something that maybe we've had to deal with. I'm going to share that just a minute. We're going to glorify Jesus. We need to magnify the Lord. God moves in different ways. Different administrations, different operations. But it's got to be. And then somebody thinks it's got to be a real soft voice that God can never, you know. I heard this lady on TV and said, you know, those preachers raise their voice. John 7:37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Isaiah 58:1, cry out, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Yet when God spoke to the prophet, it wasn't an earthquake, it wasn't a fire, it was in a still, small voice. We want to take it and franchise it and put the, and this is the revival. There's different ways. Say, well, it's happening over there. I glorify God. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. Well, you know, it should be happening where we're at. If people are getting saved and come to the Lord, I'm happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we don't need, we need to let God move how God's going to move in our churches or wherever. We need to let God do that. And then this conversation back with this man about the Christian apologetics, and then later he came over. Yeah, he said, Mike, you got the word. I said, that's what I live by. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, being it's an in season, out of season. Now, this Corinthian church had 3,000 people. Boy, they were zealous for the gifts. That's the shouting, emotional crowd. Then you have the quiet crowd that never, we're not going to make any open display. The Bible talks about it. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:8 says to do that. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you people, and whisper, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Tell you what, if we just go by what the Bible, we'll be set free. Because some people get in a service where people aren't shouting and running. Well, you know, this is a dead church. That doesn't mean that. Maybe that's the way the Spirit of God's moving in that one particular service. And then some people that's used to have been real quiet, and they go to a church where people are just shouting and praying. Well, you know what? They don't have to act like that. I remember watching the Publisher Clearinghouse sweepstake van pulled up in front of people's homes, and when Ed McMahon was alive, he's dead. And he and the dignitaries would ring the doorbell. The occupant would open the door, and they just announced, you've won so many $1 million. I was him go, woo, woo, woo! Fall on the ground and roll. I never heard Ed McMahon or any of those other officials ever say, you know, they shouldn't be acting like they just won a couple $1 million. Well, praise God, I'm forgiven of my sin. I'm headed to heaven. Jesus is my Lord, and I can get excited about that. Amen. Now, in this church of Corinth, people Kathy and I were in a tent meeting, and this lady, her husband, were missionaries to Mexico. And I almost said her name, but that's been 30 years ago. Anyway, they had her come up and sing. And she said, you know, we need to get into this service. You know, we really need to get into this service. You know, the Paul said, when you come together, every one of you should have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation. He questioned them. Everybody was having something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think it's 38, but I want you to find the verse, and it's in a question form. I think it's verse 38, but I might be off two or three verses. I think it's verse 38, but somebody go there, and verse 26. Can you put up verse 20? Okay. Pastor, read it. I want you to read it out.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying.
And he goes on to say, if speaking tongues, two or three, by course, not at the same time. Let one interpret. Now, that's when God's speaking to the church. Now, we can be worshiping God in tongues and singing and praising God because the unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, nobody knows it. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. God doesn't need an interpreter. But when the message is coming through somebody to the church, if everybody's doing it, it can't be interpreted. It'll cause confusion. Going out in public, and you're going to pray in tongues. Paul dealt with that. You give thanks for help, the others not edify them. I might think you're crazy. But see, the question, and the lady, her name was Candy, Kathy knew it. I knew it. And I look over some of the, but there's four pastors. This was a great I went there for several years. We looked over. And she was trying to get people involved. Everybody's, do you know, can you imagine a church of 3,000 people? And everybody has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation. You know, those services would be about 3 weeks long. I'm talking about not come back the next night. You have to go through 21 days, maybe, for everybody to have something to say. And I was the last night I met here, was the last week I preached, where I was in the area, and they started church at 7 o'clock. This guy heard me and preach over in Virginia for Darrell Davis in Hurley, Virginia. We had a great revival broke out there in 1987 or 88, and it went like 60 days. I preached 50 days. I had a TV, local TV program at the time, and we had, I don't know how many people saved. I think we had like 80, 90 people saved. And 70 or 80 people filled the Holy Ghost. Miracles took place. They bought the Jesus Teen Center across the creek. During that revival, built a prophets' course. Didn't get to stay in it. I stayed. They had a trailer for me to stay in. And anyway, that was a different look. I went there for a one-night service. I'd been there the year before. And then the next year was going to have a revival. And it just broke out. Now, you say, well, what'd you do? It was in January. I was getting ready to go to Texas. And I wanted to go to Texas. But the revival broke out. Every pastor I called during that revival, Brother Mike, you go with that. You get here when you can. I was going to Florida in February. I didn't get to go to Florida that year. I just stay in that cold weather. But people were being said, well, this guy came and heard me preach. He wanted me to come preach for him. It was going to be next. He said, what you got up? And I said, well, now I'm going to Florida. This is another time that I was preaching, like in August. I said, let me come to spring. No, well, you got something early January? I said, well, you want to do? Yes. Go over there for a three-night meeting. And the first night, 3 hours and 20 minutes of unanointed singing. Sister so-and-so, come on down. Oh, I don't want to come on down. Well, I guess I will. Man, if you don't want to do it, I don't want you up here singing. If your heart's not in it, come on. Okay? Now, they were used to it. It was like 10:20 when I got. And I think I told you all last night. I think I did say here last night. The last guy, he said, Brother Manuel, as soon as whatever his name was, you go ahead and preach. I thought, well, praise God. Well, I said, praise God, 40 minutes too soon, Rick. 40. He sang 20 minutes. What? He pulled a notebook out. A notebook. Well, I preached my hour, and I ministered to people. It was 10 minutes till 12. Dismiss the service. Kathy and I are now driving through about 4 inches of snow back to Logan before they finish. Well, I can't. He's not in our circles, but he was Pentecostal. Actually, he's a great man, and he was oneness. And I had a discussion with him. He said, well, you give me something to think about. I didn't know he was oneness. I went up, but it didn't affect me. And so the next night, he got up. He said, saints of, and when we were going, okay, so, what went on? I said, honey, were we at amateur hour or were we at church tonight? So the next night he gets up and says, saints of God, we just entered this brand new year. You're going to have many more services where you could showcase your talents. This preacher has a lot of good things to say. Let's get him up. And so the next two nights, I got up there about 8:15 to 8:20. An hour and 15 minutes of unanointed singing is a lot better than 3 hours and 20 minutes. Amen. And Roman Slotson came over one of those meetings. Every time Roman said, have you been back over? I said, oh, yes. Yeah. Well, how was it? I said, there's a lot of good singing. And he laughed because I said, good singing. Now, there was a couple of people that had decent voices, but that's how he thought he would get a lot of people in the church. Everybody sing a song. Well, I've got to have something to do. I'm not going to church. Kathy and I got saved. We worked in the church where we got saved in. We went there early. We cleaned the church, cleaned the bathroom, and was blessed to do that. And those are necessary things. And if you're faithful in that 1 Corinthians 4:2, a steward must be found faithful. We need to be honored. You know, whatever gifting we have, we need to operate in that gifting and give Jesus a praise. So no matter the gifts and the fruit, we need character and we need power. It's not either or, it's both an and. Hallelujah. I just really felt this in my heart tonight to share this. That we need not to put God in a box. It's got to be this way. This is where it's at. Are you kidding me? There's a guy that had a moral failure. 30-some years ago. I heard him on TV, and I was shocked when he said this. And I said, Kathy, something's not right there. He told people that God had called many preachers to preach the gospel locally, but I heard this. I said, some of you are going to take me to task. I'd have taken him to task if I'd talked to him. I'm the one, the voice said, that I called to take the gospel to the world. And let me say else what he said. He said, I'm trying to be as humble as I can, but he wasn't. If you give money to my ministry, dollar for dollar, you're going to get more out of it than you give to any other ministry. Now, I'm not going to say the guy's first name. I'm going to say Buddy, but it was his name wasn't Buddy. You see, Jesus didn't say Mark 16:15, go, Buddy, into all the world. He said, go ye. You know what that did? That slighted other ministries that were reaching the world. And he did have a fall the next year. He got lifted up in pride. But there's restoration. Sometimes the body of Christ will bury our wounded. We need to heal them and get them back on the front lines of battle. But they need to go through restoration. If they've had these failures, you know, and we had another situation. Look, once again, I've been on the scene a while. Fella was in sin, and you know, you need restoration. And there's people thinking, and there's, well, you know, could he just go off for a weekend to somebody, you know, big minister, and to get? I said, wait a minute. If you caught somebody pilfering money from the public that worked as a bank teller, could you send him off to an ethics conference next week and put him back? Well, no, you couldn't do that if he's stealing money. I said, so stealing money is worse than damaging souls. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore. That's a process. Amen. How long should it be? Well, the Bible doesn't set a time on it, but I'll say this. The people, first of all, they need to get their heart right with God and concentrate on their family before they continue on in the ministry. Come on. Amen? Well, I just think that Pastor Tack, he's too strict on some things. No, he's doing what the Word of God says. He's doing what the Word of God says. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. Now, I'm saying this so that we can move in the flow. I'm going to churches. There are different moves of God. I'm going to be going overseas. I'm going back to South Korea October 21st through 28th. I'm going to the Bahamas to preach. Somebody said, you don't have to pray about going to the Bahamas. You know, I'm praying about it, but I've got a green light to go. I'm going down to Colombia, South America. For a crusade, it's going to be there. You know, and that crusade down there, the church runs 40,000 in Cali, and they want me to come preach at the church there. And they don't have 40,000. They have about 8 different locations. Then I'm going to be teaching in the seminary. They got 2,500 in the seminary. They want me to teach on Christian apologetics and creation versus evolution. Then they're trying to work out the next week to have a debate with a top science professor in Bogota, Colombia, South America, on creation evolution. I want that to happen, and I ask you all to pray. Don't have the dates on. We were going to do it, and some things happened. The Medellin cartel abducted 200 policemen. Now, when you go there, you have to stay in Bogota, and you have to stay with the people. I'm not going out on my own. That's what my preach friend said, Mike, I don't know if I can raise $1 million to get you back or not. You got to go to the safe places. When I went, Pastor, you believed I should have been on the board. I called you and asked you when they asked me to be on the board of CGI over in Korea. I asked you to, and you said, Mike, I feel good about it. I said, if you have anything on the inside, call me. And I called back and said, Mike, I feel you should do it. I called 5 of my best friends. I fasted 5 days. I said, Kathy, pray. I just don't want to just be on the board. But, hey, he's on some big board. But I was told what I could do to help the board. But then last October, we're to fly out on October the 5th. On October the 3rd, on Monday night, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, launched intercontinental anti-ballistic missiles over Japan, shocking the world. Then, not from your pastor, I got texts and phone, go, Mike! Don't you go. Now Kathy's rattled. What are we going to do? I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. Turn your phone off. I'm turning my phone off. Unplug the landlines. I'm going to bed. And when I wake up tomorrow morning, if I have peace in my heart, I'll go. And if I don't, I won't. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule or direct your footsteps. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us. 1 John 3:20, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, knoweth all things, beloved. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we should believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, love one another, that gave His commandment. I woke up, I had peace, I said, I'm going. I said, okay. I was on the, and we had some, I stayed with Tom and Leslie Bowles. They had asked me back in September at the CGI conference in Louisville, and I'd just preached there in August. Mike, we want to open our house to you. All of our kids are grown, and they're out of the house. We have 4 bedrooms and 4 baths. And said, you know, we know when you come preach for Dr. Bobby, he keeps you over to Marriott. So I understand, but anytime you need to stay, well, I was going to stay over at Larry Mead's house over in Bardstown, but that was going to be an hour and 10 minutes drive to the airport. And just so happened, Tommy just sold 2 insurance agencies. And then he was working from 12 o'clock midnight to 5 o'clock in the morning. He'd go over to Louisville Airport. And no commercial flights came in, but all the UPS flights. That's the hub of UPS. And he would just pick up the pilots and take them wherever. So he took me over, and I had an alternate route. And this thing almost, I flew to Detroit. I was supposed to fly out at 12 o'clock. But you know what happened? They kept delaying and delaying. We got to get this, got to get this, got to get this. And then they canceled the flight at 7:30. Gave us a hotel voucher, $250 food vouchers. If you've been in an airport recently and you buy a bag of pretzels and a bottle of water, it costs you about $15. Now, my problem was, and not all those people going to the conference, my luggage had all my toiletries, everything else in it. What'd you do? I bought some Bond spray, spraying it everywhere you could think of. On the plane, I'll tell you, I had peace. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Because he was still launching missiles, but not over Japan again, but all around between Japan and North Korea, and between North Korea and South Korea. As we're getting close, and we went through like an alternate route, and a lot of people are concerned about our plane and other planes coming over. People are already over there. They went over there early. I never thought about it. I took a nap, and then I got up, and we were getting close. I saw some people. I had supernatural peace about it. You know, I had some people ask me, well, Mike, if you'd have been blown out of the sky, what would you say? I said, Lord, I listened to your word. I know I could have missed it. And he would have told me, well, I gave you this warning or whatever. That's what I would have said, Pastor. And, you know, that would have been a horrible thing to be with Jesus. I want to finish my course. But it's a promotion when you go to heaven. Hallelujah. So some of these places, been invited to go to Thailand and some other places, there's danger in some of these. But we're going back to South Korea. Now, I just read that he's taken out the embassies all over because his country's in economic squalor, and they're thinking he's real dangerous now that he may launch some missiles. China may have to deal with him because... We don't know what's going to go on there. But you know what? Jesus is Lord. And if we'll hear from God, yeah, we need to take in this information, but we need to hear from God and listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe we're getting ready for revival. Oh, this about this. Look, let's just believe what the Bible says completely and not just get one part and everything else doesn't matter. It's like healing. People say, I had a minister would go to, he said, well, if that healing is real, why don't you empty the hospitals? I said, well, if salvation is real, why don't you empty the jails? Well, they got to believe. I said, well, they got to believe in healing. John 1:12, as many as received him, the name gave you power to become the sons of God. Matthew 14:36, as many as touch his garment were made perfectly whole. The as many as of one is also as many as the other. Let's lift our hands up and just magnify the Lord. I know there are people here tonight, and you came for a miracle. You came for a breakthrough. But hopefully, number one, you came to be with God's people and worship the Lord. And I believe you have. I thank you, Jesus. You're here tonight. You're here tonight. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This man right here. You just stand up there, sir. Okay, I'm going to put my hand right back here. I'm speaking healing into your body. In Jesus' name. The Lord is the best chiropractor, but He's the best proctologist, urologist, and nephrologist. In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm speaking healing into your body, but some of this angst has come from situations that's happened. And God is showing you things. He's showing you things, some things that's trying to hold you back. And the Bible says to lay aside these things, weights. You know, the Bible says to lay aside weights and sins. You know, weights aren't sin. It's just things in themselves are not bad, but if engaged in for too much, it keeps us from doing the main thing, and that is walking with the Lord, being a witness for Jesus. You have a heart for God, but there's some things, you know what? God's going to turn some things around for you. Right here, you've had some difficulty right here. Like acid reflux, sometimes it burns so bad, it's like somebody lit a match. I speak healing to that now in the name of Jesus. They that sow in tears. Listen, that's another thing. It's all right to cry. Psalm 126:5. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. Jesus wept, John 11:35. Well, you know, men ought not cry. That's why men have a lot more things have to deal with, it seems like, than women. Women are able to have that emotional release. Now, you don't want men crying all the time. Or women crying all the time. But there's a time tears. Come on, Jesus wept. We are over. You know, if we just stay in the Bible, read the Word of God and believe the Lord. Well, see, the miracles happen. We're going to walk in the character of God. You see, you may tell people about all these wonderful things, but they don't see character. A great minister friend of mine years ago told me, Mike, I can't receive from somebody that I don't trust. I know it got quiet in here, but amen. And other people say, you know, I just don't believe in those miracles. The Bible talks about them. Yeah, but I don't believe in them. I've had people say, yeah, but. Because I quote the scripture to, but. I don't believe in them. And then they wonder why. But I'll tell you this. God's here tonight. God's here tonight. Is Jeremy back with the kids? Or did he have to go to work? Yeah. I don't know how many years ago. It was about 4 years. 4 years ago, he's right here. I had a word for him. And he said it was his heart, wasn't it? His chest was bothering him. It immediately went away. He had a big smile. You couldn't tell by his expression. It just came. Those are gifts of the Spirit. God gets the glory for that. No man. It's like the guy that was healed of blindness. And the next day, Gloria King at Omar Junior High School come away. Everybody heard. They about this great miracle about you healing that blind. I said, Gloria, don't say that. That's a lie. No, we know him. We know the family. He was blind. I said, I know that. You just said I healed him. I didn't heal him. Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him. We need to get out of this hero worship. Paul said, one says I'm Apollos. Paul put his name in there. One of Apollos. We're just ministers who brought you the gospel.
That's right.
Respect the ministry, but you worship God and Him alone. Revelation 19:10, I fell at His feet to worship me. He said, no, I'm of your fellow servants that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship Jesus, for the worship of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I preach myself happy. Glory to God. Yeah! Praise the Lord. God's a good God. If you need a breakthrough in the realm of healing, lift your hand up. You don't have to be called out. Stand up. I want you all to stand up. It's just as supernatural. Now, healing takes place over a process of time. Miracles are instantaneous. When Jesus raised Jairus, the daughter, from the dead, that was miraculous. But when He said to the lepers, go show yourself to the priest, Luke 17:40, as they went, they were cleansed.
And the servant, centurion servant, began to amend at that hour. He didn't, not all, began to amend. Come on. I'm speaking healing. He sent His word, Psalm 107:20, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want you to receive, just on the word of God, just receive. Healing is yours. By His stripes we were healed. Just receive that from the Lord. Lay claim to it in the name of Jesus. I could share a miracle that's happened to me here recently. Shocked the doctors. I had an injury. I'm not going to go into detail on this. A guy threw a, I was helping people getting boards off a truck up in Pennsylvania. After I showed them, I could work as hard as they are, and I'm probably 40 years older than some of those guys. And this guy didn't mean to. Boom! Caused some reactions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But what God has done already, it's been somewhat miraculous. I don't have to have anything else done, but my urologist said, where you have to sit all the time, put your prostate in front of your bladder. And I had a TURP procedure back in 2012. And Dr. Malley, he's retired now, he said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, I've done thousands of these, and the hardest cases are truck drivers, and you and yours was the worst. How'd you operate for 5 years? I said, when I get home, I get on the inversion table. Oh, that's it. Well, this board hit me right down here. So there's a robotic thing that will help take some, they're not taking the whole prostate out. But because you're sitting, look, if you're, can you believe God as you get older that your hair won't turn gray or you won't get a little sore? No, that's sacred. It's 4:16. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. But we can be healthy and we can operate in the things of God. Because the one urologist said, well, you're going to keep driving. I said, I'm going to keep driving. I said, I'm flying more now, but I'm going to keep driving. Regardless. So, God uses doctors and medicine, and He heals without doctors and medicine. Well, why did Paul tell Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake? Now, I teach a preach total abstinence for all alcoholic beverages, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Paul said, I'll not eat meat as long as the world stands, my brother be offended. He was eating meat out in the marketplace, sacrificed to devils. He said, if a young Christian saw me, he'd think he could worship devils. That's why there's nothing unclean of itself. And Jesus changed water to wine, not grape juice, when he at the Cana. But here's the thing, for conscience sake. You drink some wine. Actually, there's medicinal benefits. Here's the thing about it. Somebody sees you gets to drinking wine, and they end up being an alcoholic and destroying them. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to put alcohol in my body because I was an alcoholic becoming a drug addict when I got saved. That's why I teach and preach total abstinence. Epaphroditus, working because church didn't supply Paul's need. And they ask about him. He said, you heard he's dying to death because of the work of Christ and your lack of service toward me. But God had mercy on him and me also. Couldn't Paul just have told Timothy, get your confession up and you don't have to drink that? Or just tell Epaphroditus, get your confession up? I'm touching on some things. Come on. And 1 Chronicles 16:12 says, and Asa in the 30th and 8th year of his reign was sore disease in his feet. But in his disease, he sought not the Lord. He sought the physicians. And he died in the 41st year of his reign. And people say, well, yeah, you don't go to doctor. No, he didn't seek the Lord. It's either 1 Corinthians 16:12 or 2 Corinthians 16:12. So we need to read the Bible in totality. God talked about those holding out a physician today that are sick. I mean, thank God for doctors and medicine, but thank God for Jesus. He's Jehovah Rapha, 15:26. God, Rick will tell you, doctors helped him. But you know what? Jesus healed him. How many years has that been now, Rick? 8 years. We talked on the phone a lot. I was in Ohio coming back. I talked and he talked the word, and I talked the word to encourage him. We need help one another. We need help one another. Amen. Miracles. Some people just get told he'll go back to the doctor. There's nothing there. Well, Jesus did it. Come on. Now stand to your feet. Praise God. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I'm excited about it, and you should be too.
Yes.
But what happened? What's going to happen? Three things ought to happen every time we gather together. God glory.